Bruce, let's talk about spirit guides and what we can learn from them. You are a believer in spirit guides, aren't you?
Oh, yes. When I wrote the book, Spirit Guide Contact Through Hypnosis, that wasn't done just to fill out some space for the
publisher. Yeah, it wasn't a catchy title, that's for sure, just by itself.
Well, the book also comes with a free CD to access angelic entities on the other side. So let's talk a little bit about what spirit guides are, and we'll differentiate them from angels, too. Spirit guides are referred to as beings of light. And what they represent are people who have crossed into spirit and are in between lives. Some of them have perfected their karmic cycle and they're ready to ascend, so they stay around to help others to facilitate our spiritual growth, like a Buddha syndrome, so to speak. Most spirit guides, however, are not perfect, but they're usually at a higher level of spiritual evolvement than we are. That's where they can assist us. Their purpose is to provide us with guidance, wisdom, compassion, love, and to assist us in manifesting our true karmic purpose to facilitate our karmic cycle so we can eventually eliminate the need to reincarnate. They appear in various forms. They can usually they come as the, in other words, you may have known a spirit guide in a past life. So let's say it was 200 years ago. That's how they'll appear to you, in the form in which you knew them or you can relate to them as best. They can take any nationality. They can pick any sex. They can come across as any way they want to make you feel comfortable. For example, they can appear as a monk in a robe, a religious figure, a Christ, Moses, a Buddha, Mohammed, a Native American or Chinese sage, Saint Germain, an angel, an animal spirit, or other manifestations. They can also appear as sounds, colored lights, or simply a sensation, a feeling, an intense feeling of pure love. Our soul has no sex per se, so these spirit guides are really not male or female, as neither are we. They're simply pure energy. And they're also specialists in their functions. For example, if you have a relationship problem, you'll want a relationship guide. There are many, many, many guides out there. The average person has access to dozens of them at the same time, actually. So if you have a medical problem, a chemical guide would be called in to help you. If it's a career problem, abundance issue, whatever that may be, the guide will be a specialist one. And my techniques and CDs train you to request the appropriate guide for you to make it easier by using your higher self as your, you might say, referral source. A truly developed spirit guide will never, and this is important, we have to separate the good guys from the bad guys, will never encourage you to blindly give your power to them. They don't predict your future events, and when they communicate with you, it's only to encourage you, not to encourage the codependency, but to encourage a form of empowerment. You can easily detect whether a spirit guide is a high level or low level. By low level, we mean ones that come from the lower astral plane, which in fact are the source of psychic attacks, as we discussed throughout this entire show. So, for example, if you have a guide contact or, let's say, an entity contact, and you're left with a feeling of fear, depression, or some negative emotion, you're with a lower astral entity. You can just dismiss them and get rid of them. The techniques that I represent on my site and my CDs, you'll never have that problem. You'll only get positive entities. I never have people report negative issues. High-level guides, or the ones that you want, the true spirit guides, will teach you love, forgiveness, and tolerance. When you're with them or when you have an exposure to them, you will have this feeling of this beautiful sense of intense, pure, unconditional love, this positive feeling. That's the only kind of emotions you'll experience with them. A spirit guide, for example, will not stop you if you want to ignore their advice. They'll instruct you as to what the probable consequences may be, but they're not going to manipulate you.
They are not your guardian angel, right?
No, you'll see in a moment. We're going to separate those from the angels in a moment. Because remember, spirit guides once were human. They had a human life. An angel, just to make it simple, an angel is a messenger of God. It's a direct God energy complex energy. It was never human. It's simply a perfect energy source representing, you might say, like an agent, if you will, of the God energy complex, or people call God, or whatever your term is for God, or the perfect energy that created the universe. I do feel there is a God, and I do feel that this universe was not created by scientific experiments, okay? That's my humble opinion. But going back to the guides again, the guides will never lie to you. They never misrepresent themselves. Will never try to come across as the person to dictate or manipulate your life. They will never speak with foul language. They will never try to say that they're the greatest in the world or that they're better than somebody else. If you have those kind of contacts, and people before I work with them will describe previous experiences of these kinds of contacts, almost like a cult experience, that's not a guide. That's a lower astral entity. even if you have a lower astral entity around for whatever reason, you can just dismiss them. They have no power over you. It's only you that can give them the power by showing fear and being intimidated by them. Now, one example of which relates to both entity contact and psychic protection and self-defense is an issue called, it's a very serious issue, and it's a very common one. It's called the hands in the night syndrome. This is reported all throughout every culture in the world. The recent estimates I've read are 1 out of 6 people have had this experience, and this is what it represents. People will hear sounds like footsteps in the middle of the night. They'll sense an evil presence and become unable to move, a paralysis effect. They'll feel hands choking them or suffocating pressure on their chest. They often see a ghostly being over them, and when they finally move, the phantom or beast, if you will, or entity disappears. This is very common. In fact, the Old Testament reports this as the old hag syndrome.
Right.
With Lilith, if you're familiar with that story, okay? That's very, very common in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I had a patient who had experienced this. Now, this is the key. Even if you're not involved with psychic protection, even if you don't do other techniques that I recommend, all you have to do is move your finger, move your leg, move any part of your body, and the entity disappears. One of my patients was a woman about 60 years old. She was very unempowered. She was a very kind of milquetoast person, a very nice woman, but obviously not very in charge of her life. And she woke up in the middle of the night. It was about 3 a.m., which is not a good time for psychic attack because that's when lower-level demonics function at their height. And she had this gargoyle at the foot of her bed with green piercing eyes staring at her. And finally it moved towards her and was about to choke her. And she remembered reading in Protected by the Light, my earlier book on psychic self-defense. She said, all I have to do is move. And she froze, she was paralyzed. And all of a sudden she just moved her pinky on her left hand and the gargoyle dematerialized and disappeared back into the lower astral plane from whence it came. But the hands of the night syndrome is very commonly reported, and I love your listeners out there. Please, folks out there, if you've had this experience, call in. We want to hear about them. I want to show the audience, the other people, that how common this is. This is a very common syndrome.
Bruce, you have on the program in the past made reference to the Akashic Records. And again, for some new people to the program, this is very fascinating. Explain what they are.
Very simple. You go to a hospital with a medical problem, and the physician, the nurse will first, but the physician will eventually look at your medical chart. This gives them an idea, or her, your medical history, allergies to drugs, your medical situation, diagnosis, and past experiences. The Akashic Records are like that, except instead of representing your medical records, it represents your soul's karmic cycle, all of your past, present, parallel, and future lives. When I got your two future lives as Dexter Monterey and Zior, I'm not a psychic. I mean, my lovely wife and soulmate Morning Song is. She could get that without going through the technique. But basically what I was doing was going into a trance, accessing my higher self, which accessed your higher self, and read your Akashic Records.